Practically perfect in
Love
every way.
Talk Radio. Welcome to Living Astrology with host Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and human design consultant, and her co-host Jason Levanis, intuitive tarot card reader and teacher, as well as feng shui consultant. At Living Astrology Radio, we are committed to empowering people to reach for the stars. Now enjoy the show.
Stars.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm your host, Janet Hickox, and with me today is my lovely sidekick, Jason Levanis. Hello, Jason, are you there?
Hello, beautiful blue-eyed goddess. Janet, I need you to turn your microphone up like two clicks.
Click, click. Turn it up or down?
Turn it up two clicks. It sounds a little like you're in a tunnel. I want you to sort of be forward in your sound.
You just told me to turn it down, so I did.
I understand, but now that we're live on the air, it sounds a little different.
Okay, so can you hear me okay now?
Beautiful.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Awesome. So today is a banner day, I got to tell you. I am raring to go. I have tons of stuff to share. And
I'm listening.
Guess what else? Guess what else?
Tell me. Don't keep me in suspenders.
I just love keeping people in suspenders. No, the actual chat room is working again. I can actually see that there are people in there coming in and coming out, logging in and logging off. That's the first time in I don't know how many weeks. So if you're a listener and you're used to having the chat and have gotten tired of trying to find it, but it's not there, today it is there. So I'm hearing a lot of static in the background. Is that your line, Jason?
You know, I'm hearing static on your end, too. So I'm sitting here going, you know, let's just give it a whirl and see how this goes. If you were to ask better, why is it beeping?
There, that sounds much better.
Okay.
So where do we begin today? Today's show is called... And I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to keep this title, but I like it. Changing the world from the inside. But I keep wanting to say changing the world from the inside out. But it is strictly changing the world from the inside. And today we're going to be talking about the first of three shows on this particular subject. This week we're going to start on the information as it relates to what are we seeing outside world. You know, what is the evidence in the outside world showing us about what is changing? And next week, we're going to switch to what is literally changing for us as individuals and what gene key or what gate in human design or what evidence in astrology points us to the inner changes that are happening. So the third one of these is going to be a appearance by a woman named Roberta Grimes, who's written a book called The Fun of Getting Along. And it's going to be an interesting read because I can tell you, as I've read the first couple of chapters in her book, I really kind of resonate with what it is that she's asking of us all, and that is getting along is something that we have to learn to do if we want to see things happening in the outer world in a different way. So those are the shows that are coming up for the next couple of weeks. Later on in the show today, I want to go into some of the other shows that I have upcoming. But right now, Jason, I want to read you something. I just want to know what your reaction is. Are you ready for this?
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. So this is an email that came to me from my sister, who I'm sure doesn't listen to my show, so it's okay for me to do this out loud. And I was really stunned by what I was reading. It's a joke kind of thing that she sent me, and here's what it says. Today's lesson in irony. Once in a while, we just have to stand back in awe of government. The food stamp program administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture is proud to be distributing the greatest amount of free meals and food stamps ever, 46 million people. Meanwhile, the National Park Service administered by the U.S. Department of the Interior asks us, please do not feed the animals. Their reason for the policy is because the animals will grow dependent on handouts and will not learn to take care of themselves. Thus ends today's lesson.
Huh.
You're the one with all the static. When I talk you out, when I mute you, there's no static.
I don't know what to tell you, sweetheart. I'm not using a different mode.
Are you sitting by an air conditioner or a fan?
Yeah, there is an air conditioner, but I always have it on for every show. Would you like me to try and turn it off?
Yeah, right now I don't hear it, so I don't know if you moved away from it or what.
No, I'm stationary. I think the line is wonky, that's all. I turned the air conditioner off. Maybe that's is that better?
Yeah, I don't hear any static at all.
All right, sweetheart. There you go.
But I can't have you roasting in there, so if it gets hot,
no, it's okay. If it gets to be unbearable. So I kind of lost the gist of the first part versus the second part. Can you read it again for me?
Yes. Once in a while, we just have to stand back in awe of government. The food stamp program administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture is proud to be distributing the greatest amount of free meals and ever, a million people. Meanwhile, the National Park Service administered by the U.S. Department of the Interior asks us, please do not feed the animals. Their stated reason for the policy is because the animals will grow dependent on handouts and will not learn to take care of themselves. Thus ends today's lesson.
I'm sorry, maybe I'm just mentally deficient, but I fail to see the correlation between the United States amount of food stamps given out and this idea of national parks not asking people to feed animals. Can you help me out here?
Yes, I sure can, because it's really kind of a slam on people who are getting free food stamps or getting free meals, because what they're saying is because of the government handing that out to you, you don't have any will or reason to learn to feed yourself. That's what they're saying, is that the animals grow on them, the government, for food, and you, the people, we, the people, any people out there dependent on food stamps, then, you know, get dependent on the handouts and doesn't go and work for food.
Well, all right, so here's my take on that. I'm perhaps very unpopular in my views, but having a defined Ajna, all I can say is perspective is a really crazy thing, you know, and I don't know how limited your sister's existence has been, but it sounds to me that she is one chromosome away from Cro-Magnon, because she perhaps has not been in need, or she doesn't know people who are disabled or have a disability or what have you. I personally have been on public assistance, and I paid into that system as well. And I would like to hear from your sister next time how tired she is after coming home from her church food pantry, handing out food to people who don't have, who are in need. I'd love to hear a little something about that, as opposed to a place where she is waxing philosophical. There used to be this advertisement when I was growing up, and I think it was for black people, you know, African Americans. You know, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It sounds to me like she has wasted her mind.
Well, here is the biggest thing about the reason why I wanted to start the show with this. And it was just funny that it happened to come to me before the show. And it's because everything that we're going to be talking about today, as far as how we want to change the world from the inside, begins with, in this case, my own reaction to what happened in this email. I mean, I immediately got my prickles up, right? My hackles were all up, and I sent her back this email that said, well, since animals don't have to pay for food and can freely roam the forest to feed themselves, This policy makes sense to me. However, when I don't have enough money to feed, I am not allowed to freely roam the grocery stores, the farmers markets, or even the forest to feed myself and my family, even if I'm a hardworking person. Food stamps can help. Thus ends today's lesson. And after I sent it, you know how those things go, right? You react, you send it, and then I'm like, oh, my God, why did I let her make me rise to the occasion? Why did I even rise to the bait? And so that is why I was asking you, what is your reaction to this? Because to me, this is also...
You know, it's absolutely, to me, hello? Hello?
Right here. I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. I heard like three beeps. I like the fact that you and I had similar reactions. But again, you know, perspective, you never really know what's going on in the minds of people, where you wonder, hey, you know, wow, am I living in a Salvador Dali, like, reality, you know? I think I told you I went over to someone's house who, I have three categories. You're either an acquaintance, you're either a friendly, which is on your way to friends, or you're a friend. This person was an acquaintance. I came out of the bathroom, and he was rifling through my phone privately. And it made my mind melt. I mean, like, I had gray matter leaking, and I was very zen. I want everyone to know out there I didn't hurt anyone, even though I saw red. But when I came out, I thought, wow, this person is so unlike me. Why did I bring that into my sphere? Why would I have instead of jumping to the victim for me bullshit, why would I have manifested such a thing? Why would you have manifested a sister who I'm sure on all accounts is a blessed person, a good individual? I don't know her.
Oh, she is. She's got a heart of gold until it comes to handouts from the government.
And then you hear this shit and you go, I wonder why you feel so abused in your world, like you haven't gotten enough out of the system or whatever, that you would want to even go there. You know, when I think of, is she a Bible person?
Oh, no, not at all. But she's definitely someone that was born in the baby boomer generation. And those people, here we go. I'm using language even that,
yes.
You know, a part
get
of the
that,
problem
get on
out
that
here in the world.
Get on that soapbox, Mama, do it.
Not getting on my soapbox, but in literally that is a generation of people of which I belong to it technically that really has this idea of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. In their lifetimes, in their youth, there were plenty of opportunities, right? There were plenty of jobs. There were plenty of things. There was less population. And then their expectation is that everybody who isn't out there working is lazy. Everybody who's out there eating food stamps is not doing their part to help support the world. And be a productive, here's the other thing, I'm using my little air quotes now, a productive member of society. And so there's this pervasive idea out there of what makes you worthy as a human being. Okay, whatever you're rattling, you need to stop rattling because it's killing my ears.
Sorry. Okay, doke.
So it's that idea out there is really something that in my own self and possibly in a lot of you out there who have various reactions to whatever it is I'm saying and whatever it is that Jason's saying is the crux of how it is that we need to go about changing the world. Oh, thank you. No scratch. No, nothing in there. Sorry, folks. I know today we seem to have a weird line going on, but that staticky for the moment is quiet. So changing the world from the inside is something that both of us on both sides of this issue, let's say a food stamp issue where one person's opinion varies completely from the other person, these are the things that have happened on a larger scale in our country. I'm going to give you another great example. All today. This is so interesting. I got this email, it was a tweet, actually, and it said, the title of it was, "The Mistake in Expecting Millennials to Pay Their Dues." And the millennials, I had to go look this up because I couldn't remember where they were in the grand scheme of things year-wise. But the millennials begin in 1982-ish and run to about 2002. Those people born in that 20-year period of time are the ones collectively attributed to the millennial generation. Essentially, so much is thrown out there about the millennials. It's managers, especially of businesses, say things like, it's so frustrating to manage these lazy, entitled, impatient millennials. They just don't seem to value the work. They aren't paying their dues like when I first started working. Or why should I invest in them if they're just going to leave the organization a year from now anyway? So they, at the heart of this millennial problem is a broken value equation. And that's a quote from the person who wrote an article on this. And I can't seem to find his name, but I will see if I can't find that for people. And it's the crux of the problem we see in the world, is that everything right now is, we're in a totally evolving world. And that evolving world requires us to kind of greet it with a new, in a new way, to greet it in a way that is more encompassing, right? More understanding. And so what I really wanted to begin talking about today in this idea of changing the world from the inside is a discussion about major evolutionary things, mutations that are occurring in the human template, if you will. And we can see these clearly in human design. The mutation is occurring through the 49th gate, which is the socio-political and economic outer world, right? So that's the change that is occurring on the outside. And then through another gate, gate 55, is the inside change that we as individuals are undergoing in order to evolve. So as we read through this perfect book that I absolutely love, and Jason, I sent you a copy of this book, and I know other people might have the book out there called The Gene Key, written by a gentleman named Richard Rudd, R-U-D-D. This particular book takes each of the gene keys down to a depth that's just startling. And I absolutely love his perspective on the depth of some of the changes that are going on here. He breaks this energy down into a shadow expression, the gift expression, and the city, which is S-I-D-D-H-I, which in Sanskrit is a word that means the highest expression of any one of the gates in human design. So when we deal with this 49th gene key, which is the one we're going to deal with today, is what is evolving in the outer world that is going to affect us in our changing on the dimensions. So we're going to deal with the shadow of this particular gate, which is the shadow of reaction, which is exactly why I began this today with that idea of what I was reacting to immediately upon receiving this email from sister, and which Jason also reacted to as I read it to him, and a number of you out there reacted to, either way, whether you were for what that email was saying or whether you were anti what that message was saying, either way you look at it, you were having a reaction. And this reaction is our raw emotions that tend to rule and our decisions. I mean, I made a very quick decision to send that email back. And luckily, I didn't throw in any personal insults or anything because I could have done that. however, I just tried to make it as, I tried to make it as impersonal. I did not want to make a personal attack, but it didn't stop me from having the reaction. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, reaction from, let's say, from an evolutionary standpoint, in this particular gate, gate 59, enabled us as primal civilization to kill both animals and people. It had an effect on our consciousness, allowing us to view outsiders as inhuman in order to kill them if we were threatened by those outsiders. Now, before everybody screams, I'm not saying that that it's part of our nature to kill, even though in time past it has been. But we had to have some mechanism within our energy signature to be able to allow us to do that, because normally human beings are not like that. We don't go around killing one another. We actually really do, as humans, value life. But it was our reaction to other, again, my little air quotes, that gave us that ability to do what we had to do to survive. I hope that's to everybody. This eventually, of course, leads us to that idea of viewing good versus evil. I think this gene key or this gate was really the developmental point where separation came into play. And is it possible that, you know, in times past, I've taught classes on cosmology relating to the work of Carl Kalman, where in the cosmic world tree is erected at approximately 2,000 to 5,000 years ago, and it creates this concept of separation, where we can actually go with what's good, what's evil, what's man, what's not man, or what's human or not human, man, woman, up, down, black, white, green, purple. All these different things allowed us to distinguish ourselves from others. And, you know, Richard Rudd in the book Gene Keys makes an excellent point. As long as you see others through the lenses of good and evil, you remain in the prison of this gate 49, which, or let me rephrase that, you'd be stuck in the energy of reaction. Let me define reaction, because I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, we're used to reaction, right? We're used to cause and effect. And, you know, to every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Those are familiar terms from science. But the definition of reaction, as I'm speaking about it here today, is a knee-jerk response to outer stimulus. So my knee-jerk response to what was going on in that email to, you know, almost fight back and come back with something, you know, generally speaking, that refuted what my sister was writing in that email. So I was in the energy of reaction. So if we're going to evolve, right, if we're going to evolve away from reaction, we're going to have to choose to see things and do things a little bit differently. So reaction, we see it all the time in the outer world, right? I mean, Trump is elected, what happens? Everybody's in reaction. We have, you know, police that are in reaction to the fear of what's happening around them. And Jason, I don't know if you heard about this. I was just stunned. Are you there on the line with me? Hello,
yes,
Jason?
Yes, I am. I am. I just muted it because evidently, your new headset or something is picking up all kinds of stuff that's not happening. So, anywho, go ahead. I'm listening.
If you're wearing a headset, what's picking up is your dangly hitting your throat or your neck, probably.
Weird. Okay.
So, and if you're not, I don't know what it is, but I always hear paper in the background or shuffling around, ice cubes knocking against something. I mean, there's always all these.
No. No, I'm actually not drinking anything. But anyway, let's continue.
Not today. I haven't heard ice cubes today. But at any rate, so now I forgot why I wanted to talk to you. Dang it. What was I saying?
I'm terrible at rewinding. I'm the wrong person for that. I'm sure it was important.
Oh, God. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. So one of the things that I was going to bring up here is that reaction is something that we can see on an individual basis as well. So, you know, what are we going to see? Where are we going to see as individuals the energy of reaction for the energy that has to change or evolve on the outer world. Any clue?
The only thing I can think of is everybody getting a human design reading.
Where are we going to be able to test this out? And that's going to be through our personal relationships, right? Our more intimate relationships. In human design, gate 49 is actually related to the marriage channel in some cases, because it's really the relationship that we have, intimate relationships that we have with a significant other. And so it is first in our intimate relationships, or our marriage, to be a marriage, literally, it can just be a regular relationship. We can watch for our own personal reaction patterns. So what happens when you and a loved one have a disagreement? Even if it's your sister or your mom or your dad,
a lover,
what happens when you have a disagreement?
Are you asking me on a human design energetic level, or
no? Just
are you asking
level.
Me on a
what?
Psychological on a psychological level?
Yeah, on any level, on your personal level.
Okay, on a psychological level, I will tell you that 9 out of 10 problems are caused by power struggles. And power struggles.
No, honey, I'm asking you personally. What happens
when
you personally have a disagreement with a loved one? What's the first thing that happens within you?
Hopefully you take a moment and not react, but you sometimes get emotionally hijacked. I know, like, for instance, with my sister, when it comes to the human design element, there are certain things that I know that I'm sending out to her, and she's taking it on, and she's taking it on as her own, and she's amplifying it, and she sends it back out to me. And so if I'm feeling a particularly shitty way in one day, I end up feeling even worse when she ends up amplifying it and throwing it back.
So what you're saying, can you hear me? Because I just changed mics and changed headsets. You can hear me? Okay, good. So essentially what you're saying is that out of reaction.
You completely changed. You sound so much better now, Janet. Whatever you just did, I can now hear the sweetness of your tone. You don't sound digitalized. This is awesome. Thank you.
This is going back. Okay, so essentially what I'm saying here is that in our personal relationships can see a pattern of how it is that we react and what the ensuing problem is after our reaction to something like a disagreement. And that is how it gets overblown, and it causes this separation and this kind of a wedge that gets driven between you and the other person. Now, some people out there listening to us, Jason, may not even have recognized what the patterns are when they are in a disagreement with someone. And that's okay too. But what we're trying to say here today is that the more and more awareness that you bring to how it is or to when it is that you're reacting to someone, that awareness can stop you from kind of emotionally barfing all over the people in your lives.
That's hysterical.
Now, emotions are great. You know, emotions are awesome. But what if, before I had decided to send off that email back to my sister, which, you know, not a lot of damage done because it was not a horrible email. But let's just make it worse. Just, I had personally attacked her, telling her she's stupid and she's unenlightened and, you know, all those kinds of things. If I had done that, do you think our relationship would resemble anything close to loving?
No.
Right. Do you think our relationship would be anywhere near that which we could create a peace from, or continue on in a normal sort of way?
No, but remember, what you're asking is can be an absolutely Herculean endeavor when it comes to a lot of people with their family. It goes back to that old joke, you know, and then I got home for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So you can say what you want, but when somebody in your family rings your chimes, sometimes you think the patience of Job and the, you know, love of Jesus Christ, because, you know, I want to strangle someone in the family, and I'm not going to name names, but you get my drift.
I get your drift, but what I'm seeing is, if what we're seeing in that kind of thing in our families, in our reactions to our sisters, our brothers, our kids, our husbands, our wives, our significant others, shouldn't surprise us then what we're seeing in the outer world. Because if we can't even bring awareness as an individual before we react to somebody's careless comment or ignorance, then we can't expect the wider world to mirror that to us. So again, you know, as we start to look through this information, we see that the change has to begin within us. And you know, what I really want to see for people, or what I want people to understand, is that even just giving yourself a breath or two or three before you react to something or to someone's comment or email or posting on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn that triggers you, is that you can keep yourself at peace, right? You don't have to react. Reaction literally is a choice. And the more time between receiving the message and your reacting, the calmer things can get for you. It's almost like just giving yourself that little bit of space before you react, before you say something you're going to regret. It doesn't mean that the emotion isn't flooding your body. It doesn't mean that you're not feeling all of that energy of, I just want to stab her. It's not that you're not feeling that emotion. It's that you have withheld the reaction in favor of the gift of this particular gene or this particular gate, which is evolution or revolution. I mean, if we want to evolve as human beings, we have to get control of our reactions right here, right now. And let's just ask this question and see if you can answer this one. What fuels reaction? Why do you think we react?
Why do you think we react? I mean, like, in a negative way or just in general?
What, in general, why we as human species in our interpersonal relationships, why do we react?
I believe it's some of it is a survival mechanism, but a large part of it is, this is how we make decisions and or have made decisions and grow. Otherwise, the spirit would not evolve if we didn't sort of interact and or react in the third dimension.
Well, interaction and reaction are two different things, right? Interaction is happening all the time. We're interacting right now in our families. We're interacting
right.
in our communities, our you know, country, etc. We're always interacting. But how are we interacting? Because if we're interacting for a space of reaction, a knee-jerk reaction. You know, I'm not talking necessarily about those really positive reactions that we have, like when you see somebody hurting and you spontaneously hand them $20. That's a different kind. That's a reaction coming from love. But when we have a reaction that's coming from anger or in response to something that we have felt like has been where we've been hurt or harmed. Way, that's coming from a fear. And there's
yep.
two fears that I thought of as we were talking, and that is, one is the fear of rejection. Like, in some way you are rejecting me, in some way I'm, you know, feeling the fear of separation. Many spiritual people have talked many times about the idea of separation and that to heal
yes.
separation. And so a lot of our problems come from that idea, from duality, from us being us versus other, or rich versus poor, or black versus white, all of these different ways in which we have separated ourselves from one another. But no doubt in more primal times that served us well. I don't say that this is something that we haven't needed at some point in time. I mean, we needed to realize that that tribe of marauders up there in the mountains, when they came down, we needed to be afraid, right? We needed to, or at least be suspicious of their motivations. We had to be ready to react, right? But unfortunately, that as we evolved in our ability to understand one another more, what didn't evolve is our fear of rejection or our fear of separation or any of the other fears of other. And, for example, why do we go to war? Usually it's because of a reaction that we're having.
Yes. Fear-based.
To other. Fear-based. All fear-based. So if we want to evolve beyond this, if we want to start creating in a world of peace and love and joy, then we really have to start ourselves on the inside. I can't change what all those monkeys out there are doing, but I can certainly change what's going on in me. I can change what my reactions are. I don't know why primally on some level I felt threatened by that email that my sister sent. There's a threat in there. Oh my gosh, you know, you're looking down on people, my friends even, who have had to be on food stamps, even my own children at some point in time having had to be on food stamps. So you're looking down at that. That
right.
was my impression and my reaction. Thus, out of that fear of, are you rejecting me as a person? Are you rejecting my family because they are in need of being supported in that way? So we ultimately look at our own reactions, right? The fuel of this reaction that we have is coming out of a fear of some sort. And so you've heard this even, that our relationships are always, you know, we talk about them being mirrors, right? You've heard me say that. You've probably said that. We always seem to think about our relationships as being mirrors. But what are they mirroring to us? Are they mirroring us personally? Because this has always kind of stumped me when I'm seeing something like rejection out there, or I'm seeing anger out in the world, or frustration, or war. Why am I seeing that? Because I want to say, is that something coming from me? But or in my own, you know, personal relationships, what is being mirrored? And it's a mirror of the world, right? As our new awarenesses begin to open up, you know, as we learn to not react from the fears that we have, as the spleen in human design loses its strength, its influence in favor of the emotional center or the solar plexus, which goes on what feels good, what feels right, we will begin to let this go. We will begin to allow the revolution that leads us to rebirth, that leads us to what I had as an aha earlier this week, and I had a very interesting living astrology sort of day where I realized, oh my God, something huge must be going on in my chart, because I had some of these stellar ahas that I wish now I had written them down, but I wish I could share them all with you and make you understand what I was seeing. But what I really saw is those of us who are willing do this work, and for those of us who are willing to say, okay, I take responsibility for my own self in this world, we are creating a genetic mutation. We are creating a point in time, you know, in primal history, Neanderthal man and Cro-Magnon man split. Neanderthal ended at a dead end. Cro-Magnon went on to become Homo sapiens and some and others in between. And I believe that we are now at a time where Homo sapiens are going to make a split. And that split, in my meditation, I got the name Homo Luminous, where there is a pathway to the light, where our DNA, which is a transducer of light, becomes the guide through which we live our lives. And we will have those in Homo sapiens who continue to allow the mind to rule them. And I don't know when that's coming. I don't know. I don't even want to say that I know. But what I do know is that I have the responsibility to keep to myself here, to make sure I'm clean in my reactions, and that I'm learning these lessons, and that I'm healing that separation within me, or that I am healing the consciousness that wants to go off back to the primal times of us versus them, and the consciousness of other. And I'm choosing to go forward. So right in my face today is an opportunity to look at that, and I failed miserably in it. But I guess it really wasn't a failure because I actually see it. I actually can't now see the consciousness that I could have taken. And the next time I'm presented with that knee-jerk reaction that I just want to slam out some words and correct my sister because she's wrong, I will be able to hopefully breathe through that and more consciousness to that. Sounds good, right?
I love it, lady. You have a couple people in your queue, and you have about 18, 20 minutes left.
Okay, so I see Tom in the queue, and Tom's friend was supposed to be, I'm not sure, maybe that's Tom's friend, and I actually have his chart, so can you bring Tom in for me, and let's see
Absolutely.
If that's him and his friend.
Absolutely. Hi, Tom and Richard, are you both there? You're
Hi.
Live on the air with Janet.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys, how are you today?
We're all right.
I see you sound like you're dumbfounded based on everything I just said. Is that right?
No, I'm okay. But just dumbfounded to be talking.
Well, am I talking to Tom or am I talking to Rich right now?
That's right, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
I'm Rich.
I'm so glad
Hi.
That you were able to connect with us today. I have both your human design chart and your astrology chart with me, just because I didn't know exactly what you wanted help with today or guidance on. Can you, tell me a little bit about what your question might be or how I can help you?
Well, we're thinking of moving soon, having a complete change of life, and I was sort of wondering how that might turn out, how soon it might happen.
Timing is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when I pulled your chart, I realized that, we didn't have an exact birth time for you, but I think I might have gotten or stumbled onto what I think is pretty close to your time of birth, in that I could see, I already know that Tom has been looking for a place to live and, that has been something changing for him. So I expected a certain amount of focus in your fourth house. Because I also know that, he was thinking of moving with you guys, you and I thought there was a third roommate possibility. So indeed in this chart, I see, So indeed in this chart, I see there are three planets, two planets and a point of reference that are moving through your fourth house of home and family, traditions, literally a relocation kind of setup. Now, one of the planets moving through here is Pluto, and it's been on a slow burn. So this has been something maybe building over the course of years, not something that just happened overnight, maybe waiting for the right opportunity to present itself, the right timing. And not long ago, that timing presented itself for you. Now you have the planet Saturn. Go ahead. Did you have a question?
Okay. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Now you have the planet Saturn moving into this fourth house. And Saturn is building up authority. It is building up authenticity here for you. And that, is this really what you want? Those are the questions you've got to ask yourself. Is this the right move for me? And literally, quite literally, Rich, you've got to go back to what do I want? Right? If you just have this pie in the sky idea of kind of non-specific ideas of what it is you're after, that is going to give you non-specific sort of things to respond to. By the way, you are a generator in human design, so you're designed to respond to things that show up in your outer world. So as a generator, as someone who wants to move, it's now your job to get clear on what it is that you want. The clearer you get, and the more you allow for that, and stop asking the question where, when, how, why, can I prove that this is going to happen, the better this is going to go. So take yourself through a process of getting clarity. I know you guys want to live in a specific place or a specific island or area.
Yep.
That's good. You've got that kind of clarity. Now maybe get some clarity around, is this a house, is this an apartment, is this a three-bedroom, is it a house with a yard, or is it, you know, something where, you know, there's a duplex situation? What is it? Get a little more clarity. And move through your body with that feeling of what it's like to get what you desire, right? To get exactly what you want. What does it feel like when you find the perfect house?
Okay.
Are you tracking with me on this?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What's it going to feel like when we finally get to move, when we get to move into the house that we really desire? So I want you to get to the feeling piece of this, because it's the feelings that actually help you attract what you're looking for. All right?
Okay. Yeah, I see. Okay, that's fair.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
And I see nothing here that is stopping you from this. Now, you are coming into a period, Rich, that we call I shouldn't say we. It was started by an author named Jan Spiller in her book Astrology, Spiritual Astrology, where she talks about the new moon and being able to create very powerfully when the sun moves through your 11th house, which is happening right now for you. The sun has begun to move to the 11th house, which is the house of wishes and dreams or vision. So I want to urge you to keep your mind on what it is you want and not on what you think you don't have right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Okay,
because
thank
the
you.
More you get your mind, the more you keep thinking and focusing on what you don't want, the faster you're magnetizing that to you.
Yep. Just change the dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are you doing health wise?
I'm fine. Mostly, yeah.
Good.
No complaints.
Nice. I just want to make sure you take care of yourself, because in your particular human chart, you have all of the motors defined. What that means sometimes is someone who is pushing and pushing and pushing and not letting themselves rest, right? Not knowing when to stop. And
yep.
The energies in at least two of those motors pulse on and they pulse off. And if you keep pushing through the pulse when it's off, are the times when you can burn out, right? The times when you can actually start damaging the health of your body. So giving yourself as much opportunity to rest as you do to work. All right?
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
No, I think that's enough for now. Thanks.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank
All
you right. so much for calling in today. And I'm going to put you back in the queue so you can listen to the rest of the show. So, Jason, now guess what we're in here, Jason? We are in the shadow of the new moon. And so this conversation I just had with Rich makes me really want to share this information in our last 11 minutes. That was kind of interesting. Looked up just to say 11 minutes and 11 seconds. So we have a Leo new moon coming on July 23rd, which is Sunday, and it occurs at 1 degree of Leo. Now, and at 3:46 a.m. Pacific time and at 6:46 a.m. your time. So early in the
when
morning.
When does this happen?
On Sunday the 23rd.
Okay.
Right, coming this weekend. And the new moon in Leo is, this is kind of a dual new moon. And what do I mean by that? Is that on July 23rd, we have the new moon in Leo at 1 degree of Leo. And on August 21st, the date of the great American solar eclipse, we have another new moon at 29 degrees of Leo. So we seem to have two big opportunities, two big open windows of getting our heart's desires, because that's what the Leo energy is all about. The Leo new moon is about getting our what it is we really want from the heart center. So the case of Rich and Tom, as we were just talking, it's the ability to stay in the energy of what you want, irregardless of what you see happening on the outer planes. And this is really, really important for everybody listening, because the solar eclipse new moon is probably the singular most energetic signature for this entire year as it relates to America, as it relates to politics, as it relates to us as individuals. And it is happening right on top of the Royal Star Regulus. And that is really a very powerful, lucky star if you're in the groove of manifesting. And manifesting from your heart's desires and not from your mind saying, I need to get a job. I need to get a job, because I need to get a job means I don't have a job, and that's what my focus is on, as opposed to saying, I want this brilliant job of being an accountant, whatever it is. I wouldn't want that as a job personally, but whatever it is.
That's funny. Oh, my God. You're like, I don't want that soul-robbing experience. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Hey, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who would love to be an accountant, but not me, because to me, numbers are fascinating to play with, but not really as a job. There are people out there who are designed, by the way, with money as their gift, sort of the ability to manage and allocate resources. So, hey, if those are people that want that kind of work, more power to them. But essentially, everybody out there, getting clear on what it is you want. You know, earlier this week, I shared this with you, Jason. I'm going to share it with everybody now. I met up with a woman who had offered me a birthday gift back in June of a birthday greeting. And finally, I got the email from her saying, all right, time was scheduled, and this was happening on Tuesday of this week for me. And I was so excited because, you know, I don't usually let people do readings on me. And I don't know why I felt like I needed to let her do this. But I was really excited about it. I wanted to hear what she had to say. And then what happens is the first part of our conversation begins with, well, where do you see yourself at the end of this year? You know, what would you like to see in your life at the end of your year? I'm like, I don't know. I had a tough time. I couldn't tell her what I wanted. And so, heart, she just decided to take it in hand for me, and she said, well, okay, let's just talk about travel. Where would you like to travel this year? Right? And then from there she went to, what would you like to drive? And all of a sudden, all of these things just started coming to me, these magical things that I wanted. I wanted to travel to Mexico on a cruise. I wanted to do something she would have no way of knowing that I wanted to do, but I wanted to take a tour of the United States, a food tour, meaning going to each state and, you know, sampling that state's foods, right, their native foods. Like if you come to Washington, it's about the apples and the cherries and fish, salmon, and all these wonderful things. And if I went to Florida, I'm sure there'd be certain foods. If I went to your state, there'd be these foods. These were things that suddenly, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, and I want to do this, and I want that. And it was hysterically funny. And then she said, okay, we're going to call that the Island of Desire. And now I want you to go to the Island of Here and Now. Tell me where the picture of here and now diverges from what you want. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Right.
There was this contrast, right? All of a sudden there's this contrast between what I desired and what I had. And then after I got done specifying all those things, she said to me, now what are the things that are going to get in the way of you traveling from the island of here and now to the island of desire? In other words, what's going to stop you from manifesting your heart's desires? And I'm like, you know,
fear.
I thought this was going to be, I thought this was going to be a reading. I thought you were going to tell me happening for me this year. I didn't know you were going to make me do all the work. But she persisted, right? She's saying to me, what's going to get in your way? And I stopped and I said, okay, money might get in the way, right? Can I really afford all these things that I said that I wanted, like trips and vacations and cars and an RV and all that stuff, right? And then I said, and the other thing is going to be belief that I can have them or that I deserve them or that
right.
it can happen for me. And at that point, she shifted from, you know, this process that we were going through to then trying to sell me on a coaching package, which kind of irritated me, but in the long run didn't, because it turned out to be a great contract. And I really encourage everybody, this was a long story, but the long story short is, don't sell yourself short during these next two new moon windows by not getting clarity on what you want. That is your job, is the what. Your job is not to determine how it is going to happen, when it is going to happen, who's going to bring it to you, and can I prove that, you know, this is what I really am going to get, because that is the universe's job.
Yes.
Your job is simply, what do I desire? Get yourself on that island of desire. And then, you know, the next steps, I'm going to have this woman on my show in September, maybe even at the last week of August, because I want her to share with us the possibility and how it is we get from knowing what we want to allowing. What tools can we use when that inevitable mind gets in the way and starts chattering at us about
yes.
when is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? When am I can't figure it out. I can't, you know, and we, you know how that is, because we do it all the time. So looking for that, people, I'm going to bring her on in the next couple of weeks, and or it'll be a couple of months, and have her talk to us more about this. Now, future shows coming up. Oh, my God, I'm so excited, because for once in my, well, I shouldn't say once, but every once in a while this happens, where I have this crystal clarity about the shows that are coming up. Next week, we're going to do the second part of this three-part series, and I'm going to go through the Gate 55, which is our individual responsibility in creating the world that we want to live in. And then I think I told everybody, August 3rd, I'm bringing in the ladies from Fun of Living Together. The August 10th and 17th, both those shows will be devoted to the Great American Solar Eclipse. And we'll be talking about eclipses in general. Why is this one so big? What parts of our lives are going to get hit? Everybody is going to want a reading during this period of time, because they're going to want to know where this eclipse is happening in their charts. So be prepared, Jason, because I guarantee the boards are going to light up people who want readings. And then
excellent.
The third week in August, I'm actually going to dive into this idea of the millennials, and why is it that there is this difference, this perceived huge difference between generation baby boomer and generation millennials. And how can
mm-hmm.
we work with this energy? What is it pointing us to? And then in September, I have a couple of really great interviews going on with a gentleman who wrote the book The Ego's Code, and another lady coming on. She wrote a book called The Sun Is Gone, and I want to share this with you. Awesome people who've just been falling in my lap to be able to share their information and their work with all of you. So we have 60 seconds left. Anything you want to share, Jason? What's coming up with you next week?
We are going to be hitting the devil card. Yes.
Stay tuned
for all that fun, frolicking, provocateur titillation. And for all of you out there, I'm sure you know you can hit Janet up at www.living-astrology.com for readings, charts, etc., as well as human design. Myself at www.titillatingtarotwithjasonlevanis.com. I look forward to hearing and seeing all of you this coming Wednesday on my show, and then again next week for Janet's show. Very informative.
Woohoo!
Very spiritual. Thank you for everything today, Janet.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So for everybody, take care and have a stellar week. Thank you, Jason.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me today on Living Astrology. Living Astrology is part of the Empower You Media Network. You can find out more by going to www.living-astrology.com or by going to www.empoweryoumedia.com. If you would like to find out when our shows are airing, you can follow us at Blog Talk Radio under Living Astrology. Please consider liking us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Living Astrology and also Empower You Media. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye for now. Have a stellar week.